I don't know about you, but I've read the Bible a number of times. But sometimes a verse you miss, and then somebody says something, and I'm thinking, have I read that verse before? And this was the verse in Proverbs 24:3. It says, and I'm using the Amplified version, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, life, and family built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. Godly wisdom enables us to build. Wise people build. And then Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. In other words, if the Spirit of the Lord rests on us, we will receive the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Two phenomenal verses, which are our reading. Wise people build. And you can probably guess what my first point is about where does wisdom start? And those of you will know another proverb of how do we gain actual wisdom? And we'll be looking at that this morning. So this is the second week of our 3-week series on building the kingdom of God. Because remember, we are a group that have said our strapline, our vision is to say, let's work together to build the kingdom of God. And last week we learned that building God's kingdom requires us to have right family type relationships. And so those of you who are in the home groups, you are thinking about there's aspects probably of your siblings that your relationship works well together, but there's probably that would build kingdom, but there's maybe aspects of your siblings' relationships that do not. And so, but we are to have healthy sibling-like relationships. You know, we call one another brother and sister in Christ. We're not quite like that, but there are churches, aren't there, where it's like, good morning, brother. Do you know what I mean? Hello, sister. And that's because they're just reminding themselves that actually to build God's kingdom, this is the type of relationship that's required, which stems from a right self-image of knowing whose we are and who we are. And also right thinking about the resources God has given us. Remember, every good gift is from God, and it's to be used to build his kingdom, whether that's in our family, in our lives, or the lives of our community. Now, I don't know whether you remember this, hopefully do, but what was the most important topic that Jesus spoke of more than any other topic in his life? The kingdom. Yes, exactly. And what was the second most important topic that Jesus spoke of in his life that was recorded in the gospel? Money and possessions. Do you remember last week that the whole sermon was on resources, and that was the second? So maybe we'll keep running. But the first, the most important topic to Jesus was building the kingdom. And the second most important topic he spoke about was money and possessions. In other words, the resources of that building the kingdom. And that was last week's sermon. But this week we're looking at godly wisdom to build his kingdom on a solid and firm foundation. I always remember that song. Did you do it with the actions? You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock and the rain came tumbling down. Yes. So, and the idea is that wise people build on a solid rock. And I kind of in my head, I'd got the image, well, I just need to build my life on Jesus. But actually, that's not what that passage says. It's interesting, isn't it? So you'll discover if you stay awake, I've got 4 points, and I'll tell you in fourth point what that passage actually says about wise builders. But obviously Jesus is our example of how to build, how he built relationships, how he used the resources that he had. He is our example of how to build. But what I find incredible is that Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is empowering us, and we together have the mind of Christ. And so Jesus has not only demonstrated to us and told us how to actually build, but he's like, I know you guys can't do it without me, so I'll just come into you and help you by my Spirit to actually do that. So wise people build, but as we know, wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's Proverbs 9, verse 10. But maybe you would learn the Psalm 111, verse 10, which again starts the same. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts, funny word, but basically means all who follow his will and ways have good understanding. And to him belongs eternal praise. It is the fear of the Lord that starts us on that wisdom journey. But fear does not mean being afraid. We know it means that awe, that wonder, that reverence, that respect, that honor of God is God. I mean, sometimes people are like, oh, I'm seeking God's guidance, but I just don't know which way to go. I mean, if a donkey and an angel can stop Balaam, you know, he's God. Do you know what I mean? Just keep walking. If God doesn't want you to keep doing where you're walking and where you're going, he'll put something in your way because he's God. It's that, well, he's God. You know, this is who he is. That's that all that. And because he's God, I'm willing to humble myself and submit to his will and ways because I know they're always better than my will and ways. I know that if I follow his will and ways, it will be the most loving thing for that person and me, even if I don't think in my own little mind that it would be. Fear of the Lord involves a recognition of God's power, his majesty, his holiness, and his glory. It is giving the glory and honor to him. I'm going to tell you the same story twice, and you are going to tell me which one of these tellings shows that I have a fear, a healthy fear, not being afraid, a healthy fear of the Lord and want to give the glory to him. First story. Remember, same story twice. Which one? I live in Carpenter's Meadow. I have worked hard in Carpenter's Meadow to build relationships with the families and the elderly people who live there. I've given flowers and food and cards and invites to them to come to the Wellbeing Cafe as well as to Messy Church. Now they trust me and welcome the monthly park picnics that I do for the children from the street, and I hope to start a Carpenter's Meadow mission there. Story told in one way. Second telling of the story. True story. I am so grateful to God for the miraculous providing of a home for me in Carpenter's Meadow. I've asked God what his plans and purposes are for that area and how I can partner with him to see his kingdom come and his will be done. I've learnt to wait until he speaks to do what he calls me to do. And God, through others, have provided the flowers and the food and the invites that I can distribute to those that he's highlighted me to distribute them to. He has helped me to develop good relationships with everyone there. Same story. Very different telling, isn't it? And I wonder how we tell stories. I wonder if we have that fear of the Lord, which means we change the way we speak. And the Lord is challenging me. I'm still learning and growing. You know, challenge me. Tell me, well, you didn't give the glory there to the Lord at all, did you? You know, that because you're not, because I want to develop that fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord leads to wise and godly decisions. Yeah. Because people who fear the Lord will always give the glory to him. When I was talking about this, I was thinking about one time I went to do a recruitment fair. Well, twice I went to Chicago to do a recruitment fair for people to come to the mission field and work in the school I worked in Nepal. And we did the recruitment fair at Moody Bible College. And they actually, in America, they have Christian universities, whereas we don't quite have that here. But this was a Christian university. And so I loved it because the whole recruitment fair, which was massive, shut down for an hour and everyone goes to chapel every day. Do you know what I mean? And so we went to chapel and there was a guy from the South who was speaking. I wish I knew his name, a black guy. And he just said, and his whole message was, I can't get caught up with my thanksgiving. He's like, he just cannot keep up with how and what he is thankful for God for. And for 20 minutes, he just started saying what he was thankful for God. And then he started singing what he was thankful to God for. It just turned into a song. And God's presence, oh my goodness, it just fell in that room. As he was giving God the glory, as he was just so thankful. And it was like, you know, an hour went by like that. And at the end of the hour, it's like, I wish we could stay. I wish he would just keep speaking all day, because it is amazing when someone has that fear of the Lord and just can't get caught up with their thanksgiving. How do we actually cultivate this fear of the Lord? Well, it actually comes, like we sang this morning, from reveling and enjoying his presence. As you come into his presence, you begin to recognize who he is. You begin to feel who he is. You begin to encounter that. And as you do, oh my goodness, that fear of the Lord begins. Also, you discover the fear of the Lord through his word and through the relationship you build through prayer. So my first point is to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven requires wisdom, which starts with the fear of the Lord. Wise builders expect transformation. They expect something to change, something to be built in them, around them, and among them. You know, Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, therefore I urge you, remember that, brothers and sisters? Hello, sisters. Hello, brothers, you know, in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, this is wisdom, isn't it? Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, God is longing to release further insight to you and to me about the secrets and mysteries of his kingdom. He's longing to say, I want to show you more about me and my kingdom. And the reason why is because it will transform us, which will lead to transformation in those around us. When we begin to see, hear, understand, follow his will and ways, transformation happens in us and around us. So wise builders are looking to say, I think the way I'm thinking there, or even telling that story, is in the pattern of this world. It's not in a way that is wise. It's not in a way that will build his kingdom. Because wherever you've been brought up, whatever school you went to, whatever education you've had, your thinking has been deformed. So that we've got to reform it in a way so that we speak, think, and act differently to those in the world. And so wise builders repent of the old ways of thinking. I mean, the Lord is constantly working in me. Those in my home group know that the Lord is teaching me agape love. And it's not easy. Agape love is that unconditional love, regardless of how others treat you. And I'm thinking, Lord, I really want to learn it quickly so that I can get on and receive some love. Do you know what I mean? And not just give it without expecting anything in return. And Ruth and I were talking Friday night and she's learning patience. Oh, bless your heart. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, but it is that repenting of that lack of patience and then just saying, Lord, okay, your spirit teaches us love, doesn't it? Your spirit just brings about that fruit. So repenting of our old ways and actually moving into the will and ways of God, because that's the way we build a firm foundation. Thirdly, wise builders see what the Father's doing. Remember, this is exactly how Jesus built. See what the Father's doing and join in. John 5:19 says, Jesus gave them this answer, very truly. You'll find in some translations, truly, truly. I don't need to tell you now, if something's repeated, it's important. Remember, it's like underlining and bolding. So we've got an underline and bold. Jesus is saying, this is really important, what I'm telling you. The Son can do nothing by himself. Doesn't that blow your mind? Jesus can do nothing in his humanity. he can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's the kind of fear of the Lord, isn't it? That's the kind of obedience, the humility, the submission to say, I'm seeing God do something over there and I'm going to join in. But I'm not seeing God doing something over there, so I'm not going to join in, even though I want to or feel that they should change or they should do something. Remember, the words of control are should, ought, need, must. You know, remember, we're not to judge. We're meant to just partner with what the Father's doing. And I'm sure so many people who've discipled me are thinking, I think Judith needs to sort this bit out. But if God is not showing me that bit and that's not what the Father's doing, then Judith will have to sort out the way she speaks later on. When she's 60, she might finally give me the glory in how she tells stories, you know? We are unable to build God's kingdom on our own. We can do nothing by ourselves. And so our vision to build God's kingdom and working together requires revelation from God and empowerment from God. Building God's kingdom on a solid foundation involves obviously hearing, seeing, and then doing what the Lord has called us to do. As the parable of the wise man compared to the foolish man tells us, remember I said I thought it was about just build your rock on Jesus. What it actually says is wise people build in a way that they put into practice what Jesus has taught. It's not about building your life saying, yeah, Jesus is my rock. It's about saying, Jesus taught this and I will do it. However embarrassing that is, however difficult that is, I will do what I see and hear Jesus telling me to do from his word. And that's what Matthew's gospel is about. Remember, Matthew in chapter 5-7 says, I'm just going to summarize for you the main teaching of Jesus. And it's something that we have to, as a church, go back to time and time again. When I first came, that's what I taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Because if we don't have that foundation of these are the basics, will and ways of God, that's where we find seek first the kingdom. If we don't have that foundation right, then we're not going to be wise builders and build his kingdom together. How do we actually build and discover what his will and way is? Again, it's through listening to him, praying with him, reading his word. That's how we discover what the Father is doing. Just thinking, oh, that will and way over there isn't God's will and way. Father, are you showing me something that I am meant to be doing over there? Do you know, I think of the story where Jesus tells his disciples to feed 5,000 people. I think you know the story. There's 5,000 men, actually. That's not counting the women and children. That's a lot of people to feed. There are 5,000 people in Pulborough, so I can relate to that. Do you know what I mean? That's the population of Pulborough. You know, and Jesus was looking at his disciples and basically saying, hey, guys, we need to feed these 5,000 people. I mean, they've been up on this mount for a long time. They've got no food. And, I love the disciples. So the 12 disciples look at each other. And I'm sort of thinking, if the Lord called us to feed everybody, do you know what I mean, to have a picnic for everybody in Pulborough, I think looking around, there's slightly more than 12, but we'd look at each other thinking, how on earth are we going to provide a picnic for everyone in Pulborough? Yeah. And then I can imagine that, you know, Ruth and Louise, as our treasurers, would be thinking, just as Philip did, well, that'll cost us a year's salary. Can we afford a year's salary? Because that's what Philip thought. And then Andrew was looking around, and maybe that's our Andy Twilly looking around saying, well, what actually have we got? And they had a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then Jesus looks up to heaven. So he's like, Lord, do you know what I mean? You're expecting us to feed 5,000 people. He's seeing what the Father's doing, and what the Father's showing him is organize everybody into groups. So he prays and thanks the Lord because the Lord has shown him what's going to happen. And so he then gets everybody sit down in groups, and then he uses the disciples. Remember, he could have just done it like that. Everyone could have just said, hold out your hands and bang. But no, he used the disciples to distribute so much food that the 12 baskets left over. When you look around our congregation at PBBC, I wonder, what do you see in terms of building God's kingdom? Are you looking around and thinking, we've got more than enough resources here to do what the Lord is calling us to do? Because the little I have, I can give. And that little that I can give, the Lord promises to multiply so that it ends up being more than enough. Because you can look around us as a motley crew, and I'm sure that's what Jesus did, didn't he, his disciples, thinking, what a motley crew I've got here, you know. But then he sees what the Father's doing and he says, you are more than enough. We have more than enough to do what he's calling us to do with the little that we have that we can give. Last point. When Jesus started talking about the kingdom, he says the kingdom starts small. Do you know what I mean? Wise builders start small. We're not aiming to do something enormous. Fortunately, the Lord has not called us to do a picnic for 5,000 men, let alone the women and children. You know, he's not called us to do that. He's called us to do things that he has given us to do. And all three gospel writers include the story of the mustard seed. And repetition again says this is a really important parable. Let me just read it to you. It's just two verses. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Mustard seeds are tiny. They're not meant to grow into these type of trees. It always bothered me as a gardener. I'm sorry, as you as a horticulturist. This is not what a mustard seed grows into. Do you know what I mean? But in God's kingdom, he makes the mustard seed grow into this tree that shades people and gives birds the ability to come and rest in it. It impacts all of creation. The reason Jesus spoke about this small beginning in his time was because the way that the Roman Empire was growing, the way that the Roman Empire was building, because the empire building, when we talked about this last week, empire building, Roman way of building was through large numbers, brutality and assimilation. And he's like, that's the way you empire build. It's not about large numbers. It's not about doing massive things. It's not about assimilating people to make them think like you and have your culture. It's not about brutality. It's about little tiny seeds that we plant and God will multiply. I think we can do that, PBBC. I think we can give the little that we have and just allow God to transform and use that to build his kingdom as we work together. Those little seeds, remember our strategy this year is just simple. Little seeds of praying, caring, sharing what God is doing in our lives. Let's conclude. God's wisdom enables us to build his kingdom in our homes, our families, communities, and lives on a sound and good foundation. Let's build with his wisdom, not ours. And as we seek first God's kingdom, his will and ways, we will be transformed through God's Spirit, and we will be able to partner with Jesus to plant little seeds that will grow into God's large, protective, peaceful, joyous kingdom of justice and righteousness. Can that be our focus, PBBC? Can that be our focus, just to say we're going to build wisely with little seeds of praying, caring, and sharing, and leave the rest up to God, because he's God and we're not? Are we willing to say yes to the Spirit this morning, saying, Spirit, lead me where my trust in you is without borders? Let me walk upon the waters. Whatever you call me to. Lord, I pray that you'd help us take our eyes off ourselves and just put them firmly on you. Lord, that we would almost literally forget about ourselves and concentrate on you. And as we do, it's not about us doing things. It's about you doing things in and through us. It's about you. Lord, I pray that that fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, that we would recognize that this week, that we would have that fear of the Lord and we would be like, Lord, we welcome you. And we honor and glorify what you are doing with the little we have. Help us be people who sow seeds of prayer, of caring and sharing. And Lord, we know that as we do that, not only will our lives be transformed, but the lives of those around us too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.